No.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. I like having my hair all set.
Everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots. We're glad you're joining us tonight. And I'm just going to start out tonight. I've just been reflecting today because, as you all know, we have a recall election going on in Wisconsin because the unions were very upset that their collective bargaining rights were taken away by the current governor there. And the reason I think of children is because the actions of children when you tell them they can't have something or you take something away from them is like they lay down and they want to pitch fits in the floor and they want to have temper tantrums and try to get you to change your mind and do all kinds of crazy silly little things. And this whole thing with this recall of Walker and the walkout in Wisconsin from the legislature of the Democrats, and they're all wearing the same colored shirts and chanting "Shame on you," which doesn't strike me as being very adult behavior. You know, adults can talk to each other reasonably and work things out. And if you don't like it, you either deal with it or you go somewhere else. You don't try to push your opinion onto the rest of the, everybody else around. So that's just kind of what I've been thinking about today. At this point, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Billy, who is my co-host, and she is here tonight. So, hey, Billy, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good tonight, Brenda.
Good. Yeah, summer's getting underway. I don't know. My kids were out yesterday, last day of school. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine were out since the 24th. Mine get
really?
Out usually the day before, or the last Friday before Memorial Day.
No, are you right? Wow. Now, when do they go back then?
Oh, they go back in the beginning of August.
Okay. Well, ours go back about the third week of August, I think. So.
Yeah. But there were a lot of snow days they didn't use this year, too.
Well, yeah, that too. Ours, actually, yeah, they had to, they tack them in here. They tack them in like we had a four-day weekend for Memorial Day. Because of the snow day they didn't have to use. So right now, if anybody's tuning in, so far there are no results quite showing up yet for the Wisconsin recall, although early polls were an indication that it was looking pretty good for Scott Walker. However,
yeah,
we're going to keep
an
eye
on
that.
6 points.
Yeah.
He was looking up by 6 points today.
Well, and even the, yes, in the exit polls, it actually showed, I think they said 6 out of 10 people didn't think you should have a recall election unless they did some kind of, what did they?
Crime.
Yeah, some kind of crime. So that's probably good news for Walker, too, because that would be the Wisconsin people saying.
You don't do
saying,
it for a special interest like the unions. That's it.
Yes,
that's
what, and it is a special interest. Unions are a special interest. And in this case, we're talking about the public union, that the taxpayers pay their salary and their pension. And if taxpayers are hurting, then, you know, I'm sorry, but you've got to suck it up. And they
right.
didn't like
I
that.
Mean,
so.
All they keep trying to say is, well, let's just take it from the rich taxpayers. Don't go for, you know, at least, you know, increase their salaries and all this stuff. So, and then increase taxes on the wealthier Wisconsinites. And I'm sorry, it just is not. This is not Peter Pan, come on, you know, or
no.
Robin Hood, you know.
And eventually you run out of money. You can't just keep taking other people's money. You have to have. We got problems. We got problems all over this country. The states that have Republican governors have done better than states with Democratic governors as far as money wise. But you know, we have big problems in the federal government. Overreaching, overtaxing, and just like that guy on Facebook who renounced his citizenship so he wouldn't have to pay taxes. You know, this is what the wealthy people will do. They will just go live somewhere else.
Exactly.
You know, it's not. Yeah, you've got to use your common sense, and common sense says, you know, if you're wealthy enough to be taxed more. And we're talking about people making millions. But here's the problem: the people who are going to get taxed more are going to be the middle class. It's not going to be your people making millions of dollars, because they will, like I said, they'll just go live somewhere else. You know, they don't have to live here. They're not bound by boundaries because of the money they have. They can buy their own little island, you know, which I know that sounds silly, but Tim McGraw and Faith Hill have bought their own little island. So, you know, they... when you've got the kind of money that it would take to actually try to fix anything, you can't just keep taxing. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to allow it to happen. And they already pay more in percentage-wise than what you or I would actually pay in taxes. So it's not, it's they're paying, already paying more, and yet they want more. You know, I don't know. I say first you make the cuts, and then we see. But, one of the other interesting things this week is what's going on in Florida, where they're trying to purge their voter rolls of voters who have died or, you know, whatever. And the Obama administration is issuing warnings to the state of Florida. It's like, not your business. The government has no say in what the state of Florida does with its voters. Not constitutional, and yet this is from a constitutional scholar, you know, it's ridiculous.
That's the media. You know, I'll never understand the Obama definition of fair. They want the democratic process to be fair. They want everything to be fair. Fairness to them means our way. It doesn't mean actual
right.
fairness.
No.
You know, it's ridiculous. I get so upset when I hear about how Holder is now suing another state over voter ID laws or, you know, it just goes to this whole philosophy, and it makes people think this guy wants people to cheat because
yeah.
that's all they're trying to do is avoid the cheating.
Right. And here in Indiana, I mean, the voter ID laws have already been to the Supreme Court, and they've been ruled constitutional. I don't know what he's hoping. Is he hoping that they're just going to drop this because he says so? I mean, once it goes to the Supreme Court, it's like they've already ruled on this. Once it goes, you know, up, the courts have to rule on the precedent that was set by the Supreme Court, which was that the, you know, voting ID law here in Indiana was not a hardship because, well, you know, anybody can go down and get a photo ID for free at the license grants for voting. You know, obviously you're going to have to prove you're a citizen and you know, this kind of thing, but they can't charge you for the photo ID. And the Supreme Court already ruled on this back in 2008. I don't know. We've been having to show our ID for a number of years.
2000, so. Wasn't it 2000?
It might have been. I don't remember. But it's like, why? And you know he knows that it's already been ruled on. So what game are they trying to play? Are they just trying to tie this up?
Well, no,
so that
see, the thing is, southern states, there are southern states where the AG, the attorney general of the nation, has the power to declare something. I can't remember what it's called, something about disenfranchising the voters. Because... It's a law that is in place because of the southern states, and I can't remember what it's called. And he can stop them legitimately from using voter ID. That's why this whole thing about what happened in Wisconsin, where they didn't have that power from the AG, they went to a federal judge and had the judge declare for this election the voter ID was not to be used. And they've had voter ID up there for as long as I ever voted when I was living there.
And that's just crazy. I mean, that's why in the world would you need to declare it not valid for one election? And why would
I know,
that,
I don't
do
get
that?
It.
I mean, this is, you know, this stinks is what that does. It's like, it just totally stinks because you know... Why do you care unless you're planning to cheat? You know, it's not really the only people it disenfranchises are people who are in this country illegally and therefore can't get a photo ID. You know, if you're here legally, there's no reason you can't go down to the license branch and get your photo ID. And in fact, the Democratic Convention, you have to show a photo ID to get in. So
they said, this is what they said. For Wisconsin, the judge declared it unconstitutional, having a voter ID law. I'm going to give you the link to the Huffington Post article about
it. Well, how can the judge do that when the Supreme Court already said it was constitutional?
I don't know. See, that's the problem. That's a big problem here.
So, in other words, we've got activists on the bench putting
exactly.
their opinion in because they favor one party over another. Which is not what the court system is supposed to do. It's supposed to rule on the constitutionality.
Right there. If you go there, it says, Wisconsin voter ID law is unconstitutional.
Hmm.
And I'll read part of it. It says, if it'll ever open on me. that, for and this is it. The people who were fighting it were saying basically, hey, it's already declared constitutional by the Supreme Court. You can't stop it. A Wisconsin judge declared the state law requiring people to show a photo ID in order to be allowed to vote is unconstitutional on Monday, using a permanent injunction blocking the state from implementing the measure. Without question, where it is that voter fraud corrupts elections and undermines our form of government, wrote Dane County Circuit Judge Richard Neese. In his decision, the legislature and the governor may certainly take aggressive action to prevent this occurrence, but voter fraud is no more poisonous to our democracy than voter suppression. Indeed, there are two heads on that monster. The decision comes less than a week after Judge temporarily halted the implementation of the law. So first they halted it, and now this guy declares it unconstitutional. The decision, okay, the League of Women Voters, the Wisconsin Education Network, filed suit in Dane County Circuit Court in October. Lester Pines, an attorney with the firm Cullen, Weston, Pines, and Box, who was working on the case, told the Huffington Post at the time that their argument against the voter ID law was quite simple. It violates the provision in the Wisconsin Constitution that determines who can vote. Article 3 is unambiguous, and this means exactly what it says. It creates both necessary and sufficient requirements for qualified voters. Every United States citizen 18 years of age or older who resides in an election district in Wisconsin is a qualified elector in that district, unless excluded by duly enacted laws barring certain convicted felons, blah, blah. The government may not disqualify an elector who possesses those qualifications on the grounds that the voter does not satisfy additional statutorily created qualifications, i.e. a photo ID, you know, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, see, this is a state constitution, so this is where that judge was ruling from, was a state.
Well, now what they need in Wisconsin is saying everybody over the age of 18 must have a photo ID.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly.
Well, except for, well, yeah, I guess that would work. It would. You could say that and have it be except for then they'd say, well, you have to give the ID to illegals because, I don't know, they'd do something. I'm sure they'd come away around that. But, yeah. I
Okay, voter ID law was signed into law in May, and it was a common sense reform, according to Governor Scott Walker. Go a long way to protecting the integrity of the elections in Wisconsin.
But they didn't constitutionally amend it. They just made a new law.
It's a shame that activist Dane County judge continued to stand in the way of common sense, said Cullen Werwe, a spokesman for Walker. We are confident the state will prevail in its plan to implement photo ID. And I'm pretty sure they will because of the Indiana case that justified it. It was when Indiana got their voter ID laws. That's when the Supreme Court ruled it constitutional.
See, and here's these, and I don't get this. This is the League of Women Voters, which we all know is a Democratic organization.
Yeah.
Proponents of voter ID assert that it is meant to prevent fraud, but we all know the truth. They wouldn't know the truth if it bit them in the nose. It says it's designed to suppress voting by poor people and students. Now in Wisconsin, that will not happen. Now, how the heck do they reason that? My son has.
Well, see, you know what the problem is? This is the biggest
ID.
Problem.
Yeah.
Students, meaning people who go to the colleges there,
mm-hmm.
They have two different districts. They can actually claim Wisconsin as their state of residence while they're in school, but where they're supposed to vote is their home. If they're from Texas and they're going to the state of Wisconsin school, they're supposed to vote in Texas. But
yeah.
They're not. They're voting in this election today.
Really?
Yeah. Because
how can
there's
they
no
do
voter
that?
ID.
They're not, they're, are they a resident of the state?
At the moment, they can claim it because they live at the dorm.
Oh.
That's
I guess that
problem.
Would be present an interesting problem. Well,
it
they had that problem, too, with people voting twice because they maintain two residents, like one here and maybe one in Florida.
Right.
So they would
and
have
see,
people who would vote twice in
if this
Florida
weren't a recall election, that would make it wouldn't make that big of a difference if it was just the primary, you know, before like the November election.
Right.
And they vote in their home state in November. But this
uh-huh.
is a recall election and those every little vote counts and those votes are gonna help the Democrats.
Yeah. Well, and then I was reading where they had these churches and stuff that were having breakfasts and pizza and things
yeah.
to get people to come and encourage them to vote early. It's like, that's not exactly legal. I know Romney did
Ooh,
it, too.
Tom Barrett already took Dane County.
Well, there's only 2% reporting. Right now
yeah,
we got a 52 to 62.5% Walker in the lead, 47% Tom. Whoops, now we just changed. 62.5% for Walker, 36.9% for Tom Barrett. Now, Barrett, where she's talking about Dane County and Milwaukee County, these are closer down to Illinois. And these are, Milwaukee is where they were shipping people in from Illinois, people that worked with Obama in his days as a community organizer, who are also the people involved with Acorn, who was involved in cheating here in Indiana.
Yeah.
They were
up the Rod minions.
Yeah, they were up and active here in the lower Wisconsin county. So hopefully, even despite their ways, we're hoping that Walker's going to pull out a victory there, because that would be really good news for change, true change, because that's what we all want. We want less government. And the only way to make it happen is you got to start cutting, you know, employees or benefits. That's what they do at the hospital. You know, they... or wherever I work. Like last year, we didn't get a raise, okay? They just said flat out, we don't have money to give you a raise. Now, I got one this year, which is great. But last year, they told us the first of the year, there will be no raises. And there were a lot of people saying that last year because of the state of the medical situation, because Medicare was going to cut payments, blah, 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 because they do this all the time. And so, you know, we didn't get raises. And yet, some of these employees get raises no matter what. And just because they work for a federal, well, in this instance, they're public employee, which is public employee means the people. And, you know, because the unions have negotiated these benefits, because they can hold you hostage by shutting down everything with the unions. But, you know, everybody's had to make cuts. My son, his premium went up. His benefits went down on his health coverage. My son and my son-in-law, our co-pays went up. You know, like I said, we didn't get raises last year where I work. I mean, this, when you're in a tough time, in a tough economy, these kind of things have to happen. And what Scott Walker was doing in Wisconsin is trying to ensure that the state stays solvent. You know, because obviously there are some people that think, you know, we need to give all these things away for free, but nothing is free. You know, I don't get this either, how people think it's all free. Oh, well, the government can pay for it. Well, the government gets their money from us, the people, so it's not free. Hello? You know, I don't know what they're, well, it's my ride, the government owes, it's like, no, we the people are the ones that are actually supporting the government. And it's kind of like I have this thing with doctors too sometimes, you know, because doctors think that they're actually, some of them think they're quite, you know, close to God and their verdicts and their statutes. And I say this kind of grinning, because anybody listening out there, I do work for directly with a group of doctors. And, you know, it's like you have to, you just want to remind them, you know what, you work for your patients, because your patients pay your fees, you know. And granted, doctors go to school, they 8 years, they get out, you know, they're close to 30 when they get out of school, so they spend a lot of time learning, and I wouldn't want it any other way. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't hurt to remind them that the people paying your fees are the patients. Adjust your bedside manner just a little bit would be nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of an analogy. It's like with these workers, it's like, you know, the government, and see, the government's done the same thing with their overspending, and they're just keeping, and they're just burdening the taxpayers, and they're burdening us, the people, the ones who actually pay their salaries, and voting themselves raises and nonsense that just needs to, we need to stop it. And the only way to do that is get new people in there. And so hopefully we can do that this coming November, get some new blood in the House and the Senate, and people who are willing to talk about true cuts in the government. And then, you know, we'll talk about taxes after you clean your house up and get rid of the unnecessary spending that goes on. So
it's kind of weird that Milwaukee County turned Well, Washington went pink.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Or Walker.
This would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
You know.
I would like to see a very fair election, and I would like to see it turn out that, you know, the people speak and they listen for once.
Well, they're,
I mean,
not, they're not going
it's
to.
Like, in 2010, the people spoke, and the unions just said, we got to figure a way to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna
yeah.
hurt.
Yeah, and they've even said that
them.
If this is closed, they're not done. They're not done with this yet. And it's like, how
and
can you not be done?
And this is the funny thing. They keep talking about how it hurts the middle class. It hurts
yeah.
the middle class. And
yeah.
it doesn't. What it does is it actually gives the middle class a sense of responsibility for themselves. Where they have to pay their own health insurance for the first time. In Wisconsin, it was 100% taxpayer funded. And so were
really?
Their pensions. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
This and finally, Scott Walker comes in and says, hey, listen, we can't handle this anymore.
Right.
It's going to break us. It's already breaking us. Look at our deficit now.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
It's because the whole, they were saying you're going to have to start putting in something. And then what the unions did is say, okay, we'll say okay to that, but only for a couple of years, and then we're going to negotiate again. But Scott
right.
Walker said, no, we're not going to negotiate again. That's how I have to get rid of collective bargaining.
Yeah, because they didn't want to let it go.
Right,
because
they want
I heard
the
a Democrat
taxpayers
today,
to fund everything.
Yeah, and I heard a Democrat complaining about that. Well, Walker's the one, the unions were going to give it to him, but see, they wanted that time limit. And I'm sorry, but in 2 years, everything's not going to be okay. I mean, our federal government is $15 trillion in debt. Our state governments, California's broke. Wisconsin was in the hole or broke or something when Walker took over. And, you know, it's only through those tough decisions and those hard line changes that we're going to get this country back under control and get it out of debt. And yet it's like these people don't want to hear that. They don't want to understand
yeah.
that. And I don't know. I noticed they had a nurses union there in Wisconsin, too. We don't have a nurses union here in, at least in my city.
Yeah.
Wayne.
You know, I don't get it. I don't see what the need for the union in those kind of areas really is. But I do at the same time.
Well,
you know,
I know what it is, you know, because the only benefit I could see to the union would be right now, like they come in and, it's been multiple years ago, but they'll say, okay, we're not paying benefits for anybody working less than this amount of hours. And with a union, you wouldn't have that.
Right.
And, you know, you could also probably set patient ratios to nurse ratios with the union.
But what they want to
set
is the wages. They want to run the business. And that takes away the power of the person who owns the business. You
right.
know, even like, and that's even where, like, the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church runs 6% of the hospitals here in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And even that 6%, they're now all threatening to close their doors.
Yeah.
Over what? Because they're trying to say, we want you to run your religion this way. We want you to, you know, say that either you're not going to accept anybody but Catholics in your hospitals or in order for an exemption, or if you accept anybody other than Catholics, we have the right to charge you for things that are controversial to your faith.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's, like, ridiculous. It is. I don't know. Latest update, just updated, with 5.6 reporting, we have Scott Walker at 58% and Tom Barrett at 41%, and also the lieutenant governor. I find this kind of interesting. How can they run a lieutenant recall the lieutenant governor, and then what, you know, you might end up with a Democrat and Republican. That'd be crazy. And anyway, Rebecca Clefish is ahead at 57.9% over Malin at 42.1%. So she's not faring quite as well, but she's still in the ballpark with Governor Walker. But, you know, what is the point of that? I mean, how can you run your state if you have, I don't know, what are they going to do with a Democratic lieutenant governor with a Republican governor? I'm not getting that part of it.
I agree, but you know what? I think it could happen. I do. I really think it could happen that way. Is there any results for Rebecca Caliphas yet?
Yeah, she's at 57.9%. So
cool.
She's real close to Walker. Just like 2% or 0.2 tenths of a percentage less than what he's getting in votes. So, but there's not as many people voting in that one for some reason. I don't understand that either. Seems like if you were voting for one, you'd vote for the other. 67 and 49,000 up here. We got 71 and 51. So not as many people apparently voting in the lieutenant governor recall.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I don't know what's going on with that. I know. In a case like this, I would probably just vote a straight Republican ticket, and it would be, you know, right down the line. So it's
pretty
interesting. But we'll see. Hopefully, this is going to come out in good favor here.
I'm going to go look at the other primaries that they got.
Yeah, see if there's anything else showing up. There wasn't anything. Obviously, California is voting today, but they don't close until 11 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, yeah,
tonight,
not until about 11 o'clock our time.
And then Montana, same thing, doesn't close till 10 Eastern, which will be in a half an hour. And then we have New Jersey with just 7.2% reporting. Mitt Romney's in the lead with 82% of the vote. So I don't think we're expecting any upsets there. And then nothing coming in yet from South Dakota or New Mexico. New Mexico closed at 9 Eastern. So, and I don't know if anybody knows if any conservatives running in those states where there might be some good results coming out. I don't know. Ted Cruz is having a runoff in Texas for the Senate seat. So that was some good news coming out of Texas last week as far as the conservatives and getting some change in Washington. They like to say the Tea Party is dead, and I'll just say, I'm more of a right-wing Republican than I am Tea Party, but Tea Party is basically for the same thing. I want less government. I want less regulations. I want them out of my life. I don't want them telling me. I don't want them suing my state because my state is doing what it's constitutionally supposed to do. You know, it's allowed to protect itself. It's in the Constitution, but the government, for some reason, under this president, decided they can sue. No, you can't. It's not constitutional because the Constitution says the state has a right to protect itself, which is what Arizona was doing with its immigration laws. And it's just really, really disgusting that how out of control Washington is. And why is nobody, why is nobody standing up to this man and saying, you can't do that? You know, that's not the role of the president or the attorney general, who the people didn't elect, you know, to be suing the states like that. And eventually it's going to get to the Supreme Court, and that's where he'll be shot down. And we're also hoping they shoot down this health care bill because it's not constitutional, but we'll see what they come up with. Whenever they get out with that ruling out. But we just need to get back to being America and not pandering to special interest groups and special people, you know. It's never going to be that way. Go ahead.
We have, there are people, this is the thing, that illegal immigration and some of these, I want to call them draconian rules on the Democrat side have done to our nation. They've taken away the American luster of it.
Yes.
It's what they're doing, especially liberals. They say, open borders, let anybody in, let them talk their own language. We should never, declare a language here. And America in and of itself is a place where people go to basically put their other country in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, it should
be. And when they move here now, they're finding out, guess what? We didn't write our country in the rearview mirror because so many parts of America look just like it and
yeah.
sound just like it.
Yeah. Like when women, you might come here from to get away from the Sharia law and then have to find themselves living under it because of some crazy court in the United States of America allowing Sharia law, which is just insane. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is insane. That's like the most insane thing you can imagine.
Yeah, and we're now up to 8.5 reporting. Walker's at 58.6%, Barrett at 40.8%. And Rebecca is still maintaining her lead at 58.5%. So she's right even, pretty evening. Yeah, cool. Still less people voting in that lieutenant governor recall. I have no idea what's going on with that. But, okay. But so far, so good coming out of Wisconsin. But yeah, if you come to America, and I speak to this as a... second generation on my mother's side. I'm a quarter European because my grandparents were from the old country, so to say.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother didn't want her kids speaking Hungarian. She wanted them to speak English.
They
came to America to be American, not to maintain their culture in America, but to get away from their country and become a part of this country. And anymore now,
right.
They want to come here and try to make it, well, you're American, so you know, your laws say we can do whatever we want. And,
right.
And they're taken away, basically, by the court being...
So activist.
And not paying attention to our founding fathers and their intent in writing the Constitution... have created this environment where, you know, we're pandering to special interests instead of the good of the country as what, you know, it was intended, was the good of all people, not just the individual few, you know, which is just kind of a sad state of affairs, in my opinion. But
it is. But,
yeah.
It, you know, and I've heard this recently. It was just the idea of trying to basically find out from other Hispanics who, you know, everyone's saying, oh, well, Romney should definitely take Rubio because he's going to help them pander to the Hispanic, so to speak. Or Hispanics are going to vote for another Hispanic and, you know, that kind of ideology.
Yeah.
And I know a lot who say no. They literally say it's just not going to, that's not going to make them vote one way or another. They're voting Republican, well, mainly because they live in Iowa, and we're a very conservative place, and most Hispanics here vote conservative anyway. But they're also a different breed of Hispanic here. You know, these are those who went through the whole naturalization process. I know there's some who fall through the cracks, and they're like, there's like illegals here that are getting away with it, but the majority who vote, you know, registered voters, Hispanics, are saying it's not going to make one hill of beans difference whether he takes Rubio or Portman or, you know, Newt Gingrich. They just want Obama out just as badly as a lot of other people, because what they're doing, even Hispanics are a growing small business population.
Right.
We have, you know, Hispanic food marts, and there's even Hispanics who own restaurants and all kinds of different businesses around here. And they are not looking forward to higher taxes because they make $250,000 a year. They are not looking forward to Obamacare at all. They are just saying we want him out.
Right.
And that's the beginning and end of it. Even the teachers I know are just like, it's not about, you know, whether you're going to cater. And they don't say pander. They say cater to illegal immigrants. They don't care if you're going to cater to illegal immigrants. In fact, they wish you don't. America. You know, they hope that the government doesn't. But
yeah.
That's all, you know, when you want to put everything in Spanish and say, oh, well, now, we'll attract more Hispanics because things are in Spanish. They say no. We moved to America so that, you know, we can be American.
Right.
It's not about reading everything in Spanish or seeing,
and where
you
does
know.
That, yeah, yeah, and where does that stop, Billy? You know, I live in a city that has the highest Burmese population from, and they're considered refugees. You know, do we have to start putting things in Burmese, you know, for these people? I mean, it's crazy. You don't do that. Why are we pandering to illegal immigrants? Because most of those that are here legally will speak the language. My sister-in-law is actually of Hispanic origin, and they don't like these illegals in here either, you know, because they bring their own set of problems with them. And they are a burden on the government and on the taxpayers of this country.
Right.
And it's not that we
and
have
see,
anything
that's where
against
I, that's
Hispanic.
Where they,
I don't.
They say we as America as a whole, cater to that mentality that come on over, you know.
Right.
We'll give you food stamps. We'll give you free education. We'll give you all this stuff. And you don't even have to be a citizen.
Right. And
they
don't.
That is something.
They can even vote in California. I know they can vote in California.
Yep.
And they encourage it. Yes. And this is so wrong because they're not United States citizens. And they have no vested interest in this country. And this is what our founding fathers wanted. And this is why it's important that our president be a natural-born citizen so that they don't have other interests and other conflicting interests with other populations.
Country views, yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, like I've said many times, I could care less whether he was born on Mars because he's president. There's nothing that's going to change anything he's done as president. Because, you know, they'll never overturn
anything
he's
done. Yeah, I doubt that they'll ever rule on it, which is kind of, but I think we can see
but
by his actions.
But there's a lot of people out there, like the really strict birthers out there that simply think that if Obama were to be found not to be a born resident of the United States, everything he has signed has now turned to dust and doesn't exist anymore. And that's not going to happen.
Well, it can't
you know
happen.
Saying?
Because it can't happen overnight because, you know, there's legalities and all kinds of things involved in the legislation.
It would cause chaos. It would cause absolute chaos in our
absolutely.
Whole system.
Absolutely.
And there's no way that that's going to happen. But the people I've heard talking about it, they absolutely have this fundamental belief that that's what's going to happen, and the more you say no it's not, the more mad they get, you know. They get like, you know, why is everybody so against them? They feel so betrayed by the liberal media and stuff like that.
And it's
not so much, it's just the fact, and we can't change that. We really can't change the fact that you know, MSNBC promotes Barack Obama. Nobody's going to change that unless people just stop watching and they have no viewership.
Right. And what they've done, why it's in the news so much now, is there's different states that are actually suing to keep him off the ballot. And that's why it's kind of in the news. Honestly, I have my opinions on that. But I don't think we're going to get – we didn't get very far with it in 2008. All this was known then. Of course, you didn't hear it from the media. They didn't vet this man.
You know, I actually have my own theory about it, and I think Barack Obama wants it to be something that's out there. He himself
detracts.
Is wanting people on the right to look crazy in that aspect by saying – having something to point at, something to say, hey, look how foolish they look. You know, and that's all he wants to do, because if he wasn't born in Hawaii, which is, you know, he probably was. He really probably was, and I could care less, though. But if they say he's born in Kenya and they say he's born on the moon, I could care less, because guess what? He's the president at the moment. There's no changing it. No matter what they come out with, they could have a picture of him being born in a Kenyan, you know, hut, straw hut, and it will not make a hill of beans difference. It's no big deal. So what I, you know, and I say he was probably born in Hawaii, no big deal. But the thing is, he wants people to have that something to point at. He wants people to look foolish to him, so he has something to point at.
And it kind of detracts from his record of all this green energy, this money blown.
It's what we call shiny objects. It's a shiny object. It's something that glares and gleams and makes people, ooh, pretty shiny object, you know. I got to go look at it. But that's not the point. The issues are the economy. The issues are our jobs. Right. The issues are unemployment right now. There is nothing, it's not about whether he was born here or there. And it's just, you know, it's something that detracts from the real issues.
Right. But and some of these people, Billy, have probably been on this since 2008 because it was out then,
but
we didn't hear about it.
And when they come up
much.
With something, it
and
really gets televised and out there.
Oh, yeah.
But what does it do? It makes them look crazy because that's what MSNBC promotes.
Yeah,
MSNBC and not ABC or CBS so much, but there's CNN kind of gets out there and says, hey, look. And then you got people like Jon Stewart and Bill Maher who sit here and want to absolutely just make a big deal out of it and laugh at it. And they laugh at these people. And you know what? I say these people have a voice that needs to be heard at the same time. They are just people who are concerned, but Barack Obama has not put an end to it. He won't actually put an end to all the questions about it. He likes laughing at them. He enjoys having Bill Maher laugh at them. And that is the disturbing part of it.
Right. It looks like New Jersey, we have 45% reporting. Mitt Romney's at 81.4%.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he's going to walk away with the delegates, and not that we expected any different. South Dakota, 10% reporting, 78% are voting for Mitt Romney. That wasn't South. That was New Mexico. Sorry. South Dakota is 46% reporting, 66.5% for Romney. That's a little bit different. Okay.
Walker's got 60.5 right now to 38.9, 18% reporting.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah, it's looking good. Actually, if you look at the map, it looks pretty good. Let's keep it going. Wait for these bigger cities to come in. But Milwaukee County's only. Well, you know what? They're only got 6.7% reporting. So we'll wait for some of these to get a little bit more reporting out of the bigger cities, because this is the typical way it goes. The Democrats will carry the bigger inner cities. Maybe not so much in Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's kind of a state unto itself from what I've been reading, and their results are not always predictable.
Right. Oh, definitely. I agree with that 100%.
In fact, a lot of the people coming out of the polls today said they were probably going to vote for Obama over Romney, and yet we're going to see Scott Walker probably walk, hopefully he gets his victory there. So kind of a contradiction in and of itself. You know, I don't know that I blame them there, because who knows? I don't know. Or people could be lying because they saw this down in the South that skewered their polls horribly because they had no idea what was going on. Nobody wanted to tell them what they actually voted for, I guess. I don't know. So it's interesting when you get into these different states and their elections and to see how people react. And I actually kind of found that kind of funny down in the South where their exit polls were wrong. Like, way to go, people. You know. Nothing but like shaking the press up a little bit and making them remember that they don't know everything. And they can't control everything either. So, because that's a big thing too in the press. You're not going to get much of the truth out of them. And like you said, they make fun of people who have actually could be legitimate claims. And yet they don't even want to look at it. What's wow?
Wow. I'm just looking at Fond du Lac County. That's kind of where my sister lives. And she's like, you know, the really liberal one.
Yeah.
They have 87% reporting, 64% Walker. Tom
yeah.
Barrett, 34.9.
Yeah,
unbelievable. I love it. I'm in heaven.
Now we just hope the rest of the state gets it right here, so we'll see. But yeah, this whole thing was just childish. And look at all this money wasted and this time wasted because they were trying to recall somebody who didn't even commit a crime. You know, the people elected him to get the spending under control in the state, and that's what he's done. He's done what he said he would do. And yet now, you know, because these people don't like it, these little children don't like what happened. I mean, he wasn't even in office, what, a year? And then, you know, they're trying to recall him, and they had to wait. They had to wait because you got to be in a year, so they had to wait till November before they could get their signatures. You know, it's just insane. Just kind of crazy. I just don't get it. It's like, and I guess that's part of.
Are you reading the chat?
I was just reading the chat.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Who is this Billy, and what did she do with my wife? I don't know, Daniel. Where?
I'm shiny serious, though, you know, I absolutely agree that it's a distraction. It's a distraction. I mean, my husband is one of those who says it is the main issue that needs to be addressed.
It is the constitutional issue because there's only one, the main constitutional issue in the Constitution as that the president must be a natural born citizen. And it needs to be addressed, and we need to know who's vetting these people, you know, because it's not.
Oh, I couldn't agree
in that sense.
That the vetting process was not done on him. That nobody even cared. Nobody cared where he was born, they didn't care. They don't care whether
a lot of them assumed. See, they assumed. And because, you know, he was a legislator.
They don't even care if he's a hermaphrodite, okay? They really don't. Nobody does on the left. They just care that he's
the one
they want.
The left doesn't care. No. But, you know.
And that's why they pushed it, and that's why they didn't vet him. They would vet any Republican that goes up
look,
there. Look what they're doing to Romney right now.
Oh, look what they did to Frank Gain. Look what they did to anybody, all of the conservative candidates, you know. It's terrible, you know, what they do to these candidates. And yet, when you watched them talking to Obama, it was all soft. Look what they did to Sarah Palin. But Obama, it was all softball. And see, he would say, don't go there, folks. And they wouldn't go there. Now, what is wrong with that? You know, there's a problem, and that just...
When I say it doesn't matter if he was born on Mars or the moon, I'm saying to the voting public out there. I'm not saying so much to the constitutional issue of it.
Yeah,
I'm
saying
to the media, to the pundits, to anybody out there, it does not matter. And the only thing that they are ever going to report on is the economy. And they're going to report harder if it gets better under Obama. And they're going to report very lightly and blame it on Bush if it gets worse.
Right.
And
same thing with
the
wars. When Bush was there, all you saw was all this horrible war stories going on. You don't see that with Obama, even though we're still in Afghanistan and negotiating with terrorists. And our men are still being killed. And, you know, and they're poisoning girls in Afghanistan. You know, you don't see that played up like you did with Bush. They definitely have a way to try to get their base, you know, the liberal base stirred up and you know, this imaginary war on women, you know. And they did it again today with this equal pay bill or something they were trying to push through. I don't know. The Senate Democrats were trying to push through fair pay or something. I have no idea. I didn't read the bill, but, you know, obviously they're doing it to try to make women think that, you know, the Republicans don't support women, which is nothing farther from the truth.
Right. I know.
You know.
And that's just it. See, that's one of those shiny objects, too. It comes out as a distraction.
Yeah.
It comes out as, you know, okay, people want to get rid of Planned Parenthood. No, they want to make it a part of the private sector. They want, if Planned Parenthood can survive in the private sector without taxpayer funding, great. More power to them. but the taxpayer should not be forced to pay for this, especially if you're going to include the Catholic Church in funding their contraception issues, when the Catholic Church is not, by any stretch of the imagination, has never promoted contraception.
Right.
I went all the way through Catholic school. I went all the way through, you know, learning all the A's, the B's, and all the way to Z's of the Catholic Foundation. And everywhere in there, contraception is wrong. Everywhere in there, marriage is to be not, you know, premarital sex is a sin. All that stuff. But what the government is now doing is saying, guess what? The Catholic Church, their doctrine is irrelevant, and what the government says is how they will teach their doctrine.
Right. And not so much the government. I say Democrats a lot, like I'm trying to we them kind of thing, but this was all under the health care bill that was pushed through by the Democratic Party in Washington. So, you know, just to kind of clarify that, because this against this thing with the contraception and this is all part of the health care bill that the Democrats. Yeah, they called it for Scott Walker with 24% reporting. He's at 61.2%, and Barrett's at 38%. That's pretty awesome.
Oh,
and
I
Rebecca's
so
gonna she's gonna retain her seat, it looks like, because she's at 60%, and Malin's at 40. But they haven't called that one yet. But I'm thinking she's right up there with Walker. She's gonna pulled it out, because I really can't imagine somebody splitting a ticket
absolutely
like that. But,
this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is so awesome.
This, and you know what? This is why Obama, they were begging Obama to come to Wisconsin, and he wouldn't go, because he knew he didn't want to get anywhere near that, because I think he knew that Walker was going to win. And of course, you know, heaven forbid, you know, he'd veer off his campaign trail, you know, because he's winning Wisconsin over Romney, so he wouldn't want to step into that fray and possibly make, you know, potential voters upset with him. So I found that kind of interesting. You know, either you believe in your cause or you don't. And this just shows me, once again, what I already know, that the man doesn't really stand on any core principle, you know, because either you believe in your cause or you don't. So what would be his excuse for not going to Wisconsin, except for that he's the career politician and his cause isn't the cause of the American people or the union. He's using the unions. It's a Linskite's tactics. They use the unions to do their dirty work. It's all part of the socialist agenda. You can go read Saul Alinsky, read the Communist Manifesto, read the government list that's published in the list. You know, they use the workers to push their agenda. And I wish you could make people understand that. You know, I wish, I don't know how, because they just seem to be so polarized on this issue. But even my husband, he was union, and he worked for General Electric before they were moving all their jobs overseas. And people would sleep at work. You know, they wouldn't do anything. He'd be the only one working in the powerhouse, and he'd work all this overtime to get the job done because other people would just sleep while they were at work, and they never did anything about them because they were union. And, you know, I saw similar stories posted online, you know, from people who, you know, had similar stories to tell, and we all know about the teachers' union, how hard it is to get a teacher out once they're in. And I have nothing against a union. I have a problem with them being involved in politics. I have a problem with some central figure taking money and putting it behind candidates for a certain party, and because some of the workers don't agree with that. I mean, my dad worked in union shop, but he has always voted Republican because obviously his faith and the faith issues are bigger than his pocketbook. But, you know, I think back when the unions were started, you have to think back to the workers in the coal mines, and, you know, these people were very, very poor and getting pennies for payment, and, you know, they couldn't earn a living. and the working conditions were horrible, and that's where unions came into play. But now today we have just a few unions. The unions aren't a big population for us, but we have this huge teachers' union. And yet, are our kids any more educated today, or are they less educated than they were, you know, 10, 15 years ago? Yes. And that's a problem. Why are we paying all this money for their salaries and their benefits when they're not teaching? You know, there has to be some kind of standard set. And there has to be, and this standard and ways to grade. And the teachers union is against vouchers in private schools. But as parents, we should have the option for our children to go and get that better education if we want that option. It's taxpayer dollars. You know, it's taxpayer dollars. My money, if I want it, should follow my child, not be paid to the public schools just because they're the public schools. You know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
Like they pay for my child to go to school. I pay for my child to go to school. It actually comes out of our property taxes here. But, you know, why am I paying money and then my child is forced to go to this less than stellar educational facility? And we're not as bad here in any, you know, in my city as they are, say, in New York or Chicago or some of these places where I think it's pretty bad. You know, I don't know firsthand because I don't live there. But, you know, some of the, I could understand it as a parent being very frustrated with the lack of choice, you know. And they'll go in these experimental programs where they'll have a private school for these kids that weren't doing well in public school, and they thrive. They thrive. And that's where we need to go. We need to go back to a more private school system, and we need to get rid of these public schools that, with their big union and their demands and lack of responsibility. Although I also have to speak, there is a lack of parent responsibility also, because some parents will say, well, you're the teacher, you're supposed to teach my child. And that's wrong, too, because as parents, we have a responsibility to our children to raise them and help
right.
them through.
I think the most offensive thing I ever saw was when Frank Luntz had this team up there, and it was teachers and parents. And one of the teachers said to one of the parents, I know your child better than you do.
Yeah.
And that just totally, I would have freaked. If anyone would have said that to me,
you and I
would
have, but there are probably some parents that a teacher does know better than their parents.
Yeah, I don't doubt that, actually.
You know, unfortunately, there's probably a lot more situations like that today than what we would care to see. Now, you or I know
there's a lot of parents who don't take part in, you know, even parent-teacher conferences.
Right, exactly.
At our school, where the children go, well, they go to Catholic school. And they really, I mean, they get on my butt every single time and say, pick a time and make sure the time that you can make it, you know, we need to talk, we need to take care of this.
Right.
And if you don't show up, I'll guarantee you they'll probably come to your door.
Well, and I actually went.
I went to all of mine, too.
I did, too. And then they started this thing in high school, okay, because never before had we done high school with all my kids.
Uh-huh.
But just a few years ago, they started doing it in high school parent-teacher conferences, and I had this teacher actually said, well, yeah, I would, you know, he's doing fine, and he said, I expected that I would see the parents that I didn't have trouble with their kids,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Something to that effect, which is just, it just goes to show, you know, in your mind, you're just like, yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of parents that don't care enough. And usually their children are the ones that the parent needs to be there to hear, you know, what can I do to help my child do better in school? And
right.
And that's coming. And not just that. My oldest natural daughter, not my stepdaughters. I have two stepdaughters that are older than her. But I had a teacher call me one time from school because she was concerned about her.
Uh-huh.
And she was actually very leery with me when I said, you know, what can I do? Because we've done this and this and this, and it's not working. Because she was one, she wasn't going to do it. She didn't want to do her schoolwork, and, you know, and she was disruptive in class. And this
right.
teacher was just so relieved that I wasn't yelling at her. She goes, you would not believe the parents I call, and they just yell at me. Like, I'm supposed to be the teacher, and I'm supposed to deal with their child. And I said, no,
right.
I know she has a problem. I just don't know what to do, you know, about it. But it was startling to me that this teacher would say that to me. And this was one of the few teachers that was concerned enough to call me. You know, I didn't get that many calls from the school. You know, I would just see it on the report cards or whatever, because you just wouldn't get the calls. And but it was interesting because she did say that to me.
I think that's one of the best things about email. Because
yeah.
today, you know, you get email reminders, you get you don't get snail mail, but my kids bring home the letters from their teachers saying, hey, your conference is this date. Don't forget. You get so many reminders that you can't really forget.
Yeah.
Well,
and we did too in elementary school. But high school, like I said, they just started doing that with my youngest son, you know, the conferences. So they weren't doing them back when my oldest daughter went through. So I never really knew what was going on. They didn't have the ed line either. Now we have online where you have an account online where you can go and check their grades. They didn't have that either. So I really had no idea because nobody was calling me and we weren't getting letters. We got nothing, you know.
Right.
So there's so many improved ways now they have of communicating, but it just startling to me that she actually said that some parents
yeah.
would yell at her because she was concerned about their kids. Now, I'm sorry, but I want my teachers to be concerned about my kids. You know, I want their teachers to let me know if there's a problem.
Right.
And this is part of the problem in this country is that parents don't want to be bothered to pay the parents. You know, and taking
you know,
responsibility.
There's this thing that some parents, they think there's a disconnect, an actual disconnect between a child at home and a child at school. So when they're at school, they're the teacher's problem. When they're at home, they're my problem. And
yeah.
to me, that's kind of like, I mean, the backwards way to do it. Because no matter what they're doing wrong at home, you need to enforce that they don't do those things wrong and in school. Or,
I know.
You know.
Yeah. And I would rather my kid behaved at school and misbehaved at home, you know, because I think it kind of reflects on, some of it reflects on your parenting, you know, although I have had problem children.
Absolutely.
And you know, you don't
but
always
you know
have
what?
Control
I
because
saw,
sometimes the kids aren't going to listen
and
to
this
you.
And this even goes back to... This goes back to the public sector unions of what is going on with the unions, the teachers' unions. In Wisconsin, part of the thing with teachers is they go to the union if children don't misbehave. What does the union do? They go to doctors and say, hey, we need you to diagnose these kids with this ADHD stuff and force the parents to medicate the kids because our teachers are having problems with them. So,
which is not
all of a sudden
job.
Come up with this disease, which I'm sorry. I mean, I know you're in the medical profession and stuff, but ADHD helped my, you know, you can call it whatever, but my grandfather, my father, other people down the generations survived it and made
right.
it work for them without medication. Therefore, giving my child medication that says, hey, guess what? One of the side effects is heart failure.
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to have a teacher telling me I have to force that down my child's throat.
No, it's not teacher's
it's ridiculous.
Responsibility
and
to
I'm
do
not
going to
have their union petitioning me and trying to threaten me with CPS over... You know, you're going to have to force this down your child's throat. My brother-in-law, who happens to be a herbologist, so to speak, or he basically majored in Oriental-type medicines and in herbology, and he's, you know, he's given me lots of natural ways to help my children with their diet.
Oh, yeah,
without
absolutely.
Even needing that medication.
And you know,
telling
my...
me,
yeah, and you
it's
know, my
not necessary.
Right. My oldest son is ADHD. And he actually had to put he was put on medicine when he was like 3 or 4 because he was just out of control. I mean, he'd just run up and bite you for no reason. I mean, he was a big child. And the doctor's like, we don't usually medicate him until they go to school. I said, I know, but I can't, you know, nobody can watch him or anything because of his behavior. So, but I did a lot of research on it, and part of it was diet. And there was actually a book out. And here's the problem with that. I would get him on this diet and get him pretty well controlled with it. Well, then he'd go to his dad's for the weekend because we were divorced. And then his dad would feed him all this stuff that he wasn't supposed to have because he didn't believe it was a problem. And then he'd send him back to me on Monday. And, of course, the kid's out of control again, you know, and, you know, because it takes a while for those things to leave the system. But there are some, I think they're over-diagnosing the ADD and ADHD just because they don't want to deal with it.
They definitely over-diagnosed it.
Yes. And
they were trying to diagnose my son with it at 5, and I did a lot of research into it and stuff and saying, well, you know what, they say not to diagnose people with it at 5 because guess what? We were going through traumatic stuff with between his father and me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going through a lot of separation anxiety, a lot of adjustment disorders, and
I lived in another state,
so it ended up being an environmental problem. It was just the basic. He's, you know, and he's surviving without medication.
But the point is, it's not the school's place to tell you, you know, that you should medicate your child. And it's not their right to be sending your child to doctors to get this diagnosis so they can have a child medicated. And that is a problem. We got somebody calling at 502. Let me see. Who do we have at 502?
I hope it's Bob MC or USMC. Love to hear from
Danny Schaff.
Oh, hi, Danny. How are you?
Hey, Danny.
All right.
How are you doing?
I was wanting to get a Wisconsin election update.
Oh, yeah, 34.6% reporting, 59% for Scott Walker. It's already been called for Scott Walker.
It's been called.
40% for Tom Barrett. Rebecca, 58.8% for the Republican Lieutenant Governor, and 41%
for Mayor. But we need to make sure.
Mayor.
Is there anything about the Senate?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to see if I can find that.
That's the thing that's going to really be I don't know what to call it, but it's going to be a kick in their behinds because...
Well, the Democrats were thinking they were going to take some of those Senate seats, so I'm not really
they
sure
were.
How that's going. But let me see if I can find something on that. I'll probably have to see if it's content.
But, man, this has been a landslide. We've got, you know... 59.1, are you kidding me?
That's probably me making a noise here. Hang on a minute. I opened a website. It's like, wait, that's not what I want to hear.
Yeah.
So, but let me check here. I'm going to go see if I can find some Senate seat races, Danny, and see.
Okay. So, Danny, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I was hoping the Walker election would go this way.
I am.
Actually, it's kind of funny because my mom, who's a Republican, kept saying, "Oh, we're gonna get him out of there. I can't wait for the recall." And I'm like, "You evil! You voted for him. Yeah. Wait till the next election and vote him out. You don't do it in recall. That's ridiculous."
But, I know.
He said he was going to do.
Yeah,
I know.
And because you don't like it, because it was something, you know, I know. We talked about that being kind of childish. It's like, I don't know. It's just,
well, they didn't think collective bargaining was on the table, really. They thought, okay, if we're compliant, if we say we'll do this for a couple of years, we'll negotiate it in a couple of years, that'll be okay with them. And Walker was like, no, we got to change this whole atmosphere. We got to make sure collective bargaining is not an option anymore. Because
and this is for the public employees, not for all unions, but for the...
Oh, I know. But like I said, the taxpayers were funding 100% of their health care. Taxpayers were funding 100% of their pensions. That is unsustainable. How can anybody think that's even close to sustainable? The Democrats were saying, oh, it's sustainable. We just have to make sure the rich people pay it.
And then eventually you run out of rich people. Like, well, then what do you do?
Exactly.
You're like,
then what do rich people do? They move.
Yeah, and you're like Greece and Europe and everybody else who's having problems now. So, like, it's not sustainable. You can't do that. So, okay, well, let me see here.
Have you been reading the chat room?
No.
This is Bob USMC. I'd love to hear from him. He's interesting.
I
come to very liberalism
and
freeze it.
Like, okay. That's fine, but
line them up.
Okay, let me see here if there's any results.
Who's gonna pay for it with the stimulus money? With no liberals around.
that would be...
Well, we don't need the liberals because we'll all be working and making a living. And
yeah.
The private sector will be thriving and people will actually be earning paychecks to pay taxes in. We have so many people not working. Could you imagine putting all of those people back to work? And they're of working age. I mean, but the thing is they're talking about also... people who are between 62 and 65 that just dropped out because, you know, they don't anticipate working ever again. And now they're collecting Social Security and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Well, it's not going to be around. You know, if you don't, they don't do something about Social Security and
exactly,
Medicare,
that's
it's
what
not
I'm saying.
Be there.
But
yeah.
Them collecting it early like that is really going to make sure it's not there.
Oh, yeah, true. But, you know, if they can't find a job, it's like they're kind of desperate there. And so it's just like,
well, you know, this is the thing. I kind of look around whenever I walk into Walmart and I see the older people doing the greeting at the front door or finding a card for you and stuff. You know, people can do that kind of stuff for a few hours a day.
You got some? Did you find some results? What do you got?
Yeah, Jamie Dupree tweeted out that the state Senate races are 63-37, 62-38, 66-34 in Wisconsin, all in favor of the GOP.
Woohoo!
Awesome.
That's the way
I love
it. Folks. Finally.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, people of Wisconsin, and thank you, Danny, for finding that. I was looking on the government side. I wasn't finding anything, but that's pretty awesome. Because they were expecting not to win all those, so that's even more of a referendum on let's get down to doing the business the right way and quit, you know, misspending the people's money. So interesting.
I didn't even read this one. This guy Bob USMC said, "I come to bury liberalism, not praise it." And my husband tweeted out, but he put in the chat room, "That's one of those shovel-ready jobs." Oh my gosh, that's good. I couldn't believe my husband had such quick wit.
Okay, he's thinking that with Milwaukee, but Milwaukee and Madison had been counted. They were working.
Oh yeah, Milwaukee and Madison were first, Bob. In fact, they were the first ones to come in. Last I looked, like 87% of Dane County was for Barrett. But Milwaukee County started out for Barrett and turned to Walker.
So, yeah, this is some good news coming out of Wisconsin tonight. So this is pretty awesome.
Let me see. What is Milwaukee County now? I have it open. Madison and Dane County are still... Milwaukee County is now 51% Walker and 48% Barrett.
Okay, so they have been counting those counties, so I think those Senate races, and at this point in the game, they've already called it, so I'm free. That's probably going to hopefully hold up through the night on those Senate races as well. So,
47 points.
Yeah, Bob's like, wow, huge blowout. We're hoping, Bob, because, you know, this, if you get into this stupid little game of every time somebody does something you don't like, you recall them, where does that end? You know, come on, people. It's childish. We have to start taking some responsibility and working. You know, this whole recall thing is just kind of silly. And you don't elect somebody to get your state in the black, and then when they do it, you say, oh, well, we didn't want it done that way. You know,
yeah.
It's like, there's going to be cuts, people. They have to be, even in the federal government, the cuts have to come, because if they don't come, we can't pay the debt, and we can't get, you know, you can't just raise taxes. It won't work. There's not enough rich people out there to take on this $15 trillion debt. And the Democrats, they always use this, you know, oh, well, they're attacking women. Oh, they're against poor people. They use these kind of tactics to try to convince people that Republicans
are bad
people.
They've used every logical fallacy out there. It's a bandwagon. It's a scare tactic. It's ad hominem.
Yeah.
But guess what? A lot of people are the same mentality. You know, they don't realize there are a lot of people who actually have the whole fool me once mentality. You can fool me once because I trust you. But you try fooling me again, I'm not going to be trusting you if you lied to me once, you know?
Right.
That's the part they're not getting. And we're not going to sit here and fall for your lies. We're going to go look it up ourselves. We're going to go investigate ourselves. We're not going to take your word for it anymore. And that's what people are doing nowadays. They're literally going out there and they're saying, we've got the internet now. We don't need to take your word for it anymore.
Right. And that's good. That's only good. That's only good for the country. It's only good for all of us, you know. And it's really kind of funny because I think I told this story before, but my nephew, he's pretty close to 40, but he has a friend down there in Bloomington, because he's in Bloomington, a very liberal city, because I use there. But his friend was shocked when he told him he was a Republican. He goes, you're a Republican? You know, because of all the... He goes, well, you're not so bad. You know, it's like... Because they think we're like these horn-wearing, awful, hateful people, you know? It's like, no, we're not. But this is the fallacy that's, you know, kind of pounded into their brains, that we're just really bad people. And But it was kind of funny because he said the guy didn't even realize that, you know, they've been hanging out together for years. And he's like, you're a Republican? You know, like, oh, my God. So that, you know, that's... I guess I never realized it was that bad, this indoctrination that goes on. But I think it's been worse than what a lot of us have realized, you know, for a long time. So we've kind of got that obstacle that we have to hurdle over. And again, Billy, I agree with you. You're not going to get there by being these birthers or these 9/11 conspiracy theorists or, you know.
Right.
Like the Ron Paul folks, and I was shocked.
They're the shiny objects. They're just the things that make people point at something.
Yes.
Obama's pointing at the people who are saying, where's the birth certificate? And meanwhile, the people are pointing back at Obama saying he's not legitimate, yet the economy's still falling to crap.
Right.
You can't
sit here and worry
about that at the moment.
We have to deal with him, whether or not he's legitimate or not, because he's there, and we have to deal with it. And the best way we can deal with it is trying to get him out of office, you know, this coming November.
And the longer do you really think it was a mistake that he put up a birth certificate that could be taken apart on his own website? I mean, he did that so people would figure it out and then have something more to talk about. Because that's just how he is. He likes laughing at people. He likes having something to criticize.
Well, he certainly doesn't take any credit or blame. Well, he takes credit, but he won't take any blame. So, you know, you do know that this is all Bush's fault.
Everything is Bush's fault. It's my fault. It's your fault. We didn't vote
Bush's
for him.
Fault in the first place, but it was Bush's fault. You do know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have somebody calling in using Skype, and I'm just going to say
awesome.
Hello. Who's Skyping in here?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes,
I hear you.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, this is Bob USMC from the chat room there.
Oh,
hey,
Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing good now that I'm doing I'm very happy to hear about the results in Wisconsin so far. So told it, hopefully
awesome.
It holds up the total blowout and the Democrats will, you know, take their tails.
And I think there's
going to
be a lot more union states getting a little more firm on their public unions.
And this may be the good thing of the Obama presidency. We see states stepping up to the plate and taking responsibility for themselves, which is a good thing because they need
I'm sorry. I was talking to somebody about that very same thing, and I was actually mentioning not more than an hour ago, the silver lining in having Obama as president. It's like a cold, hard slap of reality in everybody's faces, and it's like instead of the frog being thrown in the boiling pot and immediately knowing that he's being boiled, that's Obama, as opposed to being thrown into the cold pot of water and then having the heat turned on slowly like we've been dealing with for like decades now. But
absolutely.
Exactly.
Slow infiltration. Well, see, I think Obama knows his time is limited, so he's trying to push this stuff through. And, it's waking people up to the reality that this is our country that's at stake. It's not, this is not just Democrat, Republican kind of thing. This is our country we're talking about, So.
Yeah, and it goes deeper than just Obama. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. You mentioned infiltration in education and the media. We've got a handle on the media, I think, a little bit. They've been exposed. The curtain's been drawn back. And everybody sees that it's the little Wizard of Oz who's basically a wuss back behind the curtain. And, now with cable TV, the internet, and bloggers, and, things like BTR, where the common man has a voice, you can have your own radio show on BTR and other places like that. Everybody knows that the mainstream media is corrupt. They are propaganda operatives. As a veteran, I'm a veteran, I'm a former Marine. And so I kind of look at, that angle of things. And my main concern is the education system, where we know there's been former KGB agents who have defected here. And the reason I call it in is because you mentioned the indoctrination. And we know that there's been former KGB agents who have defected here who have told us how they operated. And they basically tell us, we infiltrate your education system. And it's a huge psychological warfare that's been going on for decades, before I was born. And he says, the several generations of American students have had Marxist-Leninist ideology pumped into their soft brains for several generations, and it has gone unchallenged.
And that comes from, that's the same thing I've been saying all along, like what my father-in-law always talks about when he went to college at Occidental. When he first, on his registration day, he would show up and there'd be tables, tables for the young Republicans, tables for the Democrats, tables for young communists back then in the 50s and the 40s and stuff. And he said, but you know what? After the next year when they had registration day, they were the same exact people. They were dressed in white T-shirts that said "Save the Trees," and now they were the ecological, the environmentalists.
Right.
And that's where they got a lot of followers, and that's exactly what they're doing. They have to make an excuse to get taxpayer money. And if they don't make an excuse to get taxpayer money, then it's not worth, that's all communism is. It's an excuse to make other people pay your bills and pay for you to... education and stuff.
Well,
plus communism.
Go ahead. Control in one place, and it's like control over the people. And we see this. This would be the people with money. Wouldn't be the people, all people with money, but it would be the people like we see in Washington D.C. the George Soros and those kind of people, actually having control of the lives of the people and taking away your freedoms under a communist state. You wouldn't have the freedoms that you have. So.
What I'm saying. The control. The control is that manipulation, though, by saying, save the trees now. Now they've controlled you by saying, oh, there's a problem with the trees, even though there's nothing wrong.
Well, that's how they get the regulations. Go ahead.
And
go
what's very, very interesting, that not too many people have ever pointed this out that I have heard, is people like, you mentioned Soros, people like that. There's a whole laundry list of those people. Ted Turner, Jane Fonda, Soros, John Kerry, Hollywood. Michael Moore, Sean Penn, on and on and on. Just a whole list of these idiots. They are all filthy rich. They're all multimillionaires or multi-billionaires. In the case of Soros, in the case of Phil Turner, I believe he's a multi-billionaire. Also, the mayor in New York City right now, Bloomberg, is worth $20 billion. And one thing ties them all together. They have all used capitalism to become filthy rich. They didn't become filthy rich in a socialist economic model. And then, the more they can impose, let's just say the tree huggers, the more money grants they can get. Another prime example is PBS and NPR. They all take taxpayer funding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And think about this. They're using our money against us. We are financing our own demise.
Yep.
Exactly.
And most people don't even
know
it.
So it is. It's their way of getting our money. When they say there's a problem with the trees, they have the government now saying, oh, we got to look at this. We need to, you know, pay attention to the environment now. So that means we're getting the taxpayers to start paying more now. So, I mean, that's where it all comes from.
Yeah, and then Bob, interesting enough, the list for turning America soft and turning it to a communistic country is published in The Naked Communist, which was published in 1958. It's very scary if you go read the list. I've also posted somebody had one of the websites. You just type in 1963 Congressional Record Communism, and they even entered it in 1963 to the Congressional Record.
Right,
you know,
I've read that. I've seen that.
Yeah.
And if you look at their goals back then, and if you look at what the Democrat Party has accomplished since then.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I mean, and then you wonder why somebody who has, for lack of a better word, balls, like Alan West, is sitting there saying that there are Marxists and communists in the United States Congress right now. He said there's like 78.
Yes, and then the left attacks him for saying stuff like that.
Well,
right. You're paranoid,
you're
McCarthyite, blah, blah, blah. No, you can't just pretend.
McCarthy was right.
He was right.
Okay. He was right, and the list proves that he was right. And,
exactly.
The only, you know, we had a slower demise than what they would have liked because of McCarthy and because of people like Ronald Reagan, you know.
Right.
But Alan West, I love me some Alan West because the man lays it straight out there. And
exactly.
But it's all on print. I don't get this. In fact, if you go look at the back in like October, September 2010, the Communist Party sued the Democratic Party for stealing their platform. How many times can you make it? You know?
Right.
How more obvious can you be in saying there's a Communist Party here?
Yeah,
exactly. But yet we're not allowed to call a quacking and waddling duck a duck.
Right, exactly. Because,
you know,
they were fanatics and we're crazy. And it's like, no, we're not. So,
that highlights what the KGB agent was saying. He said basically like their mission in America, he calls it, quote, it's a great brainwashing process. It goes very slowly. It's a psychological warfare. And he says basically it is already complete. And this was back in 1985 when he was saying this. Now we're 27 years later, and he's saying basically we can all clearly see the results of this. He goes, not even Comrade Andropov would have ever dreamed of such a success.
Right. But I think what has basically kind of saved us is the homeschools.
Yeah.
You know, because these people are being not indoctrinated. And the homeschooling started back in it started becoming more popular back in the 80s, maybe. So we have a whole generation coming up of homeschooled children that weren't indoctrinated. So this may be our salvation, although right now, you know, if we don't get rid of this person we have in office, I don't know if there is going to be any salvation for this country, but... But I think, you know, that could be our saving grace, is that there was a swing and a push to get kids out of the public school system and into the home.
And there's a big up rift in the homeschooling population. That's a big thing that's happened within the last 5 years. The number of kids being homeschooled has increased. And they're not liking that on the liberal side.
Well, of course they're not.
No,
they're
they
from
don't.
The public schools and the public unions, and you know.
Because they
school.
Thought they were able to convince everybody that, hey, that's antisocial. That's, you know, you're not getting your kids out to play with others. You're, you know, it's even though it's also proven. I mean, come on, people. Mount Rushmore was carved by homeschoolers, and all four presidents were homeschooled.
Hey, if your kids aren't going to their indoctrination centers, they can't indoctrinate them. So they don't like that because, above all
exactly.
else, they're a bunch of hypocritical control freaks.
Oh, but, you
right.
know, the funny thing, the last day of school for my kids, I find, I'm, you know, my son had a sleepover with some friends, and I was doing my radio show in Abomination at the time. And they're like, oh, you're talking about Obama? We hate his wife, you know? I'm like, what? You know, they're 10-year-olds. I'm like, you hate his
oh,
wife.
You know.
I'm like, I actually like Michelle. I think she's kind of cool. And they're like, no, no, no. She took away our Fritos and our Doritos at lunch because they used yeah. to have this taco's in a bag that they, you know, have a bag of Doritos. They'd fill it up with taco meat and put some lettuce and cheese on it and stuff. And that was their lunch. You know, they loved
yeah.
that day. They looked forward to it. And then all of a sudden it stopped. And they kept asking, why aren't we having Taco Tuesday anymore? Why aren't we having tacos in a bag anymore? And,
because.
You know, it turned out that Michelle Obama was at fault.
Well, yeah, she's
yeah.
got a big, you know, and I have nothing wrong with a health push because I am a registered nurse and we all could stand to be more healthy. But I have a problem with the government making us, trying to
yeah,
make
they
us
they should not
eat.
Be taking...
A
my children
way.
Know how to moderate themselves.
Right.
They are 9 and 10 years old,
right.
and my daughter, when she's done, says she's done. And
then looking at your child's lunch and telling them it's not healthy, like happened, you know, a couple times. That's crazy. You know, that's not right. You know, it's like...
And, yeah, you know, I give my son, for a cold lunch, he gets a juice and, you know, a peanut butter sandwich and a banana. And that's
uh-huh.
good, you know. They try saying now that, you know, the bread has too much calories in a sandwich and all this other stuff. And it's like, don't you dare try telling me how to feed my child.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I grew up on
yes.
peanut butter and jelly. That's what I ate every day for lunch because I didn't need anything else. You know,
how
is it for me if I don't
and
eat?
And I'll tell you straight out, this is the funny thing about even Bloomberg, you know, his whole nanny state gone amiss in New York where he's banning the 32-ounce drinks. You know, a lot of people buy those 32-ounce drinks, not so much for the content, not even for 32 ounces of drink. Mainly, it's because it's cheaper. They'll
yeah.
have a special 32 ounces for 69 cents.
And
when
you can share it.
See a 16-ounce there for 99.
Right.
You know,
right.
they're going to buy this 32-ounce, and they don't even
and
necessarily drink it
all. 32 ounces like another nickel.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, guys, well, let me see who's calling in. We got somebody calling in from 704. Who do I have at 704?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Who's this?
Hey.
This is John from North Carolina. How you doing?
Good,
how
John.
Are you?
How are you?
Good. Good. I just wanted to talk about the people won over the thuggery today in Wisconsin. I'm very proud of those people. I don't know. You caught Breitbart, the article, the videos on Breitbart. About the
I'll find out about it after this show because I go over to Own the Narrative. OwnTheNarrative.com is an awesome place to go after these shows, and
yeah.
we talk a lot about Breitbart articles.
Yeah,
there.
He actually posted at a Barrett rally, a former Marine getting arrested.
Yes, I saw
oh, yeah.
that.
I saw that.
Yeah, I did a little bit more research on the person who arrested him. He was a local police union leader.
Oh,
there you
of course.
Go.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and then these people are screaming, take him to jail, take him to jail. And I'm thinking, he didn't do anything.
Oh, yeah. I blogged about this and got over 300 hits today about that one issue, about the union leader. It was a union cop turning into a union thug. And they still couldn't intimidate people not to come to the polls.
Yeah.
There's another thing on Breitbart, I think, today about one of the precincts had a high turnout. It was 119% turnout.
Yeah, figured that one out.
Yeah, they busted dead people in from Chicago. I think
that must have been the bus from Michigan that was coming in.
Right.
Chicago, I'm sure they bust a ton of people in.
It still didn't work.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
They have no faith in the people of Wisconsin. I mean, it's ridiculous. The people of Wisconsin are not the idiots they want them to be.
No, and there were long lines.
And the people not
did
even
go
any,
out
any state. You know, like they say even about homosexual marriage, you know, same-sex marriage. You know, every time they take a national poll, it's flawed. Because every state that takes an actual poll of their people comes out against it. They're all against it. By more than 10%, they're against it.
Take a look what happened here in North Carolina.
Yes, right. I saw it.
The amendment was a slam dunk.
Yeah, but that's going to go
absolutely.
To court now.
And that's why we're a big target of all the liberals, and everybody's crying. Now they got this one guy who's planning to take a 80-mile walk to the capital of Raleigh to protest the amendment that's already been ratified.
And here's the thing they're missing, you know, because the Constitution says any right not given to the federal government in this Constitution goes to the states.
Yep.
And when the people, and the states or the people, and the people voted, and this is the same thing in California with the Proposition, you know, 8 or whatever. The people voted, and it's not good enough. But again, if you go back to that list, Bob, if you look on that list, there's one about the court system and using the rights. Yeah. So, using the rights to sue over trivial things like that. And by that way, I'll have to look it up. But it's actually on that communist agenda and list of using our Supreme Court system and our against us.
Right. And I was going to bring up California. You brought up California where it was on referendum. And if it's going to fail in California of all places,
then
the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals basically is activists and overturning the will of the people now. And it's going to go up to the Supreme Court, so that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think they are going to take it up because I think it's already there from California. So that'll kind of, you know, give people an idea where it's going to go. But when the people speak, that's what the Constitution says you have to give. We'll have to see what they actually do because I don't always trust the court system to do.
Well, they're not just using the Supreme Court for those cases. They're now using civil cases to try to silence the conservative bloggers.
Yeah.
You know, and that I think that's one of the biggest travesties right there that a lot of people don't, you know. It's Michelle Malkin. She did a wonderful job bringing this whole thing to light when Stacey McClain his family was threatened of all things. I mean, it's really getting personal.
Oh, yeah.
These attacks.
That's the way the left rolls.
Kimberlin stuff?
What's that?
Were you talking about Brett Kimberlin just now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Brett Kimberlin.
I'm sorry. There's like someone has background noise so bad that I can barely hear.
It's me. I got grandbabies. Is it me, or have you been hearing it?
I'll hear every other word, and I just heard Stacey McCain, and I'm like, I know about the Brett Kimberlin stuff. That's just, like, ridiculous.
Well, I did a blog.
Well, that's the way the left rolls. It's like free speech for me, but not for you.
Right, exactly.
They're hypocrites.
Yeah, well, they can call us names, but we can't call them names because then we're bad. But I found that.
Well, no, then they'll sue us. What happened? What happened with Aaron Walker? He got sued because he told the truth. Not even called him names. He just posted the truth about Brett Kimberlin.
Oh, yeah.
And, I know.
And that's all it took. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, he's bashing me and he's getting everybody else to threaten me. Wham.
He also,
and guess what?
He also got a Paterico, that website Paterico.
Yep, Paterico, yep.
Yeah, he had the SWAT team coming down in Paterico's house in the middle of the night and waking up everybody at one point.
Oh, yeah, and didn't he, like, falsely call and say, I'm killing my wife?
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was.
Actually, that was one of his colleagues that did that.
that.
Well, still, it was because of him, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. When you take a look at it, I went ahead and of course
Aaron Walker's wife lost her job.
Yeah, everybody did a blog on him, and the money trail is amazing. And when you take a look at all those organizations out there, they're just passing money around like nothing. It almost seems like a huge money laundering thing.
Yes, and you know what? He's getting a lot of money from taxpayers. Actually, are funding his nonprofit organization called Justice Through Music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's endorsed by the State Department, and they're actually flying him to different countries to sing.
I know, that was insane.
What?
That was insane.
There's another example using our taxpayer money against us. And I'm quite sure if there was some kind of – I've never seen a study, but I'm willing to bet every last penny I own, which isn't a lot, that conservatives pay far more taxes than the liberals do because their constituency is welfare.
Well, see, that's because the conservatives pay the taxes. The liberals take the taxes.
Right.
Yeah. And you're probably right about that. But on that list, it's number 16 on the communistic goals. It's used the technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights.
Yeah.
That is on the communist agenda from 1958. And what do we see going on, you know? It's like, call me silly, but, you know, looks like that's happening to me.
You know that State Department thing with Brett Kimberlin started – 3 years ago. What happened 3 years ago?
2009.
What happened then?
When Obama took over.
That's right. I mean, there is no coincidence there. Plain day is fact.
The guy was part of not the Weather Underground, but he was part of that clique, so to speak.
Oh, the Bill Ayers group.
Right. The Bill Ayers. Yeah. He was one. Well, those were the bombs. That's what something I read something about how the bombs he made were the same as what the Weather Ground or the whatever it's called.
Wow.
Weather Underground was making. He was known as the Speedway Bomber. If you look up Brett Kimberlin, he set off 30 bombs in a week or 5 days or something.
Yeah,
and it was to cover up a murder though. He murdered his girlfriend's mother.
Yeah, and it was Speedway Indiana is where, like, that's why they called him Speedway Bomber.
Speedway Indiana.
He was also a drug dealer. He actually, I think, had like a plane load of either pot or some kind of drug from Mexico, like 5 tons of it. He had actually cleared out a little impromptu landing strip in Texas and posed as an INS officer or some kind of law enforcement official as cover.
That was one of his counts, posing as a federal agent.
Yep, but he was a major drug dealer. He got 5 tons
of pot.
And he
was sentenced to 50 years and got out in 15. That really pisses me off.
Yeah, how do they do that exactly? You know?
That's how the left rolls.
Because Obama signed a pardon for him. That's how.
Oh, and he
was
right.
He was a federal prisoner. Or
wonderful.
Eric Holder. I'd love to find it, but I can't find it anywhere online.
Lovely. it just gets better every time you hear a story, doesn't it? Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's just really scary. Anyway, the good news is tonight that Scott Walker is going to survive this recall. And remember, Billy, I told you the exit polls were showing that 6 out of 10 thought that you should only be recalled if you committed a major offense or crime. Well, it looks like Scott Walker's hovering right around that. Right now he's at 58% to Tom Barrett's 41%. So it seems like that poll is maybe coming more into play than
absolutely
anything else, that the people just didn't think, you know, this is not right to be recalling a man for doing what he said he was going to do. But it's definitely good to see the people of Wisconsin speaking up in favor of.
Oh, my mom is probably having a cow right now.
Really?
She's so mad. I'm serious. She's probably throwing
stuff.
No, actually, she's a Republican who voted for him. But my sister.
But she didn't like him.
My sister is a teacher. A teacher who has never been actually. She's she's always been a temp. She's never been able to get into the union or anything, and this is making it harder for her, and she wants in. So my mom is like, this is just ridiculous. They're hurting my daughter, you know.
She's just looking at it from that personal perspective then.
And then now she's, you know, my brother, who's a firefighter, he was all for that guy who was running against Clayfish.
Well, you know, now she'll have the right to work and won't have to join a union, and she'll make more money because she won't have to pay any union dues.
Oh, but see, my mom is so oblivious. She doesn't even know that Wisconsin's not a right-to-work state. She worked at Milwaukee Spring in 74 or whatever when they had some big old uprising of the union, and she keeps telling me they became a right-to-work state back then. I'm like, Mom, I know they're not a right-to-work state. You can't even try convincing me they're a right to work. But she tries convincing herself, and she has convinced herself.
Maybe this will lead to that, hopefully.
But it might be a while, though.
Yeah, it might be a while, but...
I'll give it another election term.
So, although I think they're still suing over that, but we'll see.
Yeah. So. You know, one thing I really, really, really like about this a lot is if you think about last year and a half, or however long the time frame is, the Democrats have looked like the biggest bunch of babies. They all walked out. Remember that?
Yeah.
They all left
here
the state.
Too.
They went across the border. And then now they all, like,
occupied. And they were trying to say today. Today I saw Neil Cavuto was interviewing one of them. And he's like, why'd you do that? And the guy's like, well, we had to make sure they took a step backward and looked at what they were doing.
Oh, yeah,
and
right.
It's like, they knew what they were doing. Obviously, you didn't. You're the ones who needed to step back.
Yeah, and they did that here in Indiana.
It makes them look so bad. I love it.
Yeah.
That party
anyone who runs away and shirks their duties.
Well, I think that makes the people mad, too, you know, because they're elected to do the people's business, and you can't do the people's business when you walk out. And it's not going to change anything anyway, because if, you know, it's just like this dumb health care bill that the Democrats pushed through, you know, but it's not the same, because there's a big difference because... you know, Republicans are all about cutting debt and cutting the government spending, that kind of thing. But you know, when one party gets in charge, you know, that's their right. They were voted in by the public, and, you know, you just need to deal with it instead of acting like little children and pitching a temper tantrum.
And that's all it was one big, giant temper tantrum.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot. Oh, it's just terrible.
And they did it here in Indiana, too, over the right to work law. They walked out here in Indiana over that right to work because they didn't want to, you know, deal with it. It got passed anyway, but we had to deal with them.
Well, see, the big deal is that unions have gone from 13%, you know, membership down to 6% now within the last, I think they said, 10 years.
Yeah.
So they've lost over half of their membership.
Yeah,
and
the only big one, I think the biggest one is the teachers union, and then, you know, I don't know. So.
Well, no, I'm talking about private sector, too. And they think that if a public sector union is going to have this kind of a blow to it, you know, the private sector unions are, you know, they're the ones that are losing the membership. And
true.
If these states become right-to-work states, it's going to really hurt them.
Well, it's not all about the union. It's about the working man.
Exactly.
And they're not about, obviously, they're not about the working man.
Oh, and, you know, I loved it. I loved it when someone pointed out to them that, you know, workers of the world unite. Someone pointed out to a liberal, that's a communist saying, and they thought, no, it's not. That just makes sense. Workers need to
unite. No. Yeah. It definitely is. And that's how the communists... They use the working class people. And so who's using the unions?
They need to educate themselves.
Yeah, but
They refuse to read those books. They think by not reading it, that's doing a justice for themselves.
I guess.
Because then they won't get those ideas. But the thing is, they're getting those ideas by people who did read those things. And took them to heart to the point of now what they're doing is enacting on all of it.
Yeah. So, but hey, I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. We got about 6 minutes left here, so we're running down to the wire. So, calling in. We actually excellent news coming out of Wisconsin tonight. So,
excellent.
that's a
exciting.
Monday. You know, finally, I think I'm having a little faith now in people, you know, because
I think November is going to be just the same kind of blowout now.
I
really do.
I don't know. That's
there's just, you know, there's this likability of Obama that people can't shirk. But
yeah.
When you ask them specifics about, well, how are you doing? Do you feel, I mean, your husband lost his job. You know, had to apply for food stamps. You had this happen. Now, are you better off than you were when he started? And they'll say
right.
No.
Right, but we're going to have the same things that we had in 2008, which was voter intimidation. I was just the other day I was watching a video about how up in Gary, Indiana, which is up by Chicago, like right next to Chicago, they had there were young teenage boys sitting outside of the voting polls and telling people if they came
Chicago
to vote for anybody.
It is the heart system of it.
Right,
the pulse of of it.
They were actually telling people, if you came here to vote for anybody but Obama, just leave. And so this poor little elderly baby turned around and left. And this is an Indiana portion, and this is probably why Obama won Indiana. I don't think he legitimately won Indiana.
If I were that old lady, I'd walk past them and said, you ain't going to be in the booth with me, so you ain't going to know.
Yeah, I know, but then, you know, in Philadelphia they had the guys out there with their billy sticks, you know, the Black Panther.
Right, the Black Panthers.
Yeah, the Black Panthers.
And Holder's
and
already
Eric Holder,
given them
of course, said that's not a hate crime and it's not a prejudice thing because it's a black-on-white crime. A black-on-white crime doesn't count as hatred.
Right. And what's
going
to have
to be a majority versus a minority.
What's going to have to happen in this November elections is that, you know, people from the other side are just going to have to be, you know, get some people out there to the polls. Stand right alongside those people. Say, bring it on, you know. You stand there.
Yep.
Just somebody, you know, with their permit to carry their gun can just stand there right next to something. You know,
I'm going to suggest
hardball.
That everybody, Danny, Brenda, go to Own the Narrative. You guys got to listen to their shows over there once in a while. They have had some excellent, excellent shows, and they get big top people. They get Liberty Chick from Breitbart TV and Breitbart.com. She's on there quite often. They've had this Meredith Dake on there. They've had Tony Katz. They've had a lot of big name people over there.
Cool. I'll have to check
What's the name
out.
Of the show?
Huh?
What's the name of the show?
It's
OwnTheNarrative.com. Go there, and then they'll say, like, TVTV is live, and then you can go straight to the show and listen. And these guys are no-nonsense guys, and they just, you know, they tell it like it is, and you can call in and do the same kind of thing we're doing here.
Yeah.
And Walker was the first governor to survive a recall.
Yes, I saw that earlier. I didn't bring it. Thanks for bringing that up, Danny. So that's even better news.
It is.
Because it says, you know, think twice before you do this again. So look at all the money the unions wasted, you know, sending their people out to get these signatures and stuff. And that's a good thing. So we're going to take it.
I wonder how much it costs for Debbie Wasserman Schultz to fly out there.
Oh, what? She went there?
her, Bill Clinton.
The only ones didn't go was Obama, because I think he saw the writing on the wall, and he didn't want his name connected with it. So,
well, his name's connected with it regardless.
Well, I know. How can it not be?
I mean, look what he did with the NLRB. He has totally stacked the deck against business in the NLRB. It's all anti-business there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's union to the max. I mean, that's his cronies, so.
Yeah, so hopefully. Yep. But despite that, you know, when they were doing the exit polls, people were saying, you know, by a slim majority, by a 6-point margin, that they would vote Obama over Romney. But, you know, whether that's true or not, somebody could have made it up. I don't know. So, but hopefully not. So
they were probably polling with Milwaukee, inner city.
It's very possible. You know, you never know where a poll is coming from, and that's always something to keep in mind when you're looking at a poll is where did it come from and who were they polling?
Yeah.
Because
that
makes a huge difference on what your outcome is going to be.
Yeah,
absolutely, because those liberal areas are going to do it.
Yeah. So,
all
right. Go ahead.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz said on the Walker Wynn that he could be indicted in the next few days.
Yeah, she'd love to do that.
What?
But who knows? It's just ridiculous. Those guys are freaks.
Oh, they're just crazy.
To me, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a freak. She's like, she has no popular opinion. Every opinion she has comes straight from Obama's mouth.
Yeah,
well,
let's watch her lose her re-election. How about that?
We're hoping she gets voted out.
It's great that she's in a position where she's a position of leadership. It's great that back here in Maryland, my governor here, Martin O'Malley, is the head of the Democratic Governors Association. They have literally, like, idiots in position of power or leadership for the Democrat Party. So that's a good thing for us.
We hope so. We hope so. But, hey, guys, thank you all for calling in. We're going to be going off the air here in about 30 seconds. So thank you, Danny,
Milwaukee,
Bob, and John.
Turned again, just, you know. Milwaukee turned back to Barrett.
Well, it went, yeah, and that's kind of expected anyway, because they went 62% for Barrett in 2010, so that's not anything anybody's not expecting. So, but thank everybody for joining in tonight, and we're here every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and you can check out Billy's on Thursday, right?
Thursdays. I'm on Thursdays now, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central.
Okay.
Abomination.
Awesome. Thanks again, guys.
All right.
Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful evening.
Bye-bye.